Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Your passage here today from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham, and said, my father. And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached down and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. All right. Well, let's continue. We'll continue to look at Genesis chapter 22. Verses 1 through 14, I could not believe it, but I read this past week, the fastest growing nation in our world today is Ireland. Fastest growing nation in our world today is Ireland. I never would have thought that. Yeah, apparently, it's Dublin every day. Oh, man. You know, when I went over that this morning, I said, there's no way they're laughing at that one. Well, if you laughed at that one, let's try some more. Here's what I got for you. Well, we're moving. I don't know if you heard that or not. We are supposed to take possession of a house the 25th of May. And I know Betty's doing her yard sale. Betty was out on her yard. We're moving off 56. And Betty lives off 54. And Betty was doing a yard sale yesterday. And somebody came to that yard sale. And Betty always sells our church cookbooks at the yard sale. And somebody came up to it and said, hey, your pastor is moving out next to me. So that was awesome to see yesterday. So we're trying to move and get everything boxed up and get everything together. Well, this past week, I was up in our attic going through some things, trying to clean that out, and I came across a box of watches. I mean, they didn't have a band on them or anything like that. They were just watch faces, and I don't even know why I collected these. But I had all these watches, and I thought to myself, you know what? If I took some leather and bound those watches together, I can make a really nice belt, a belt of watches. But the more I thought about it, the more, it's just a waste of time. Oh, good. Okay, there's one more. Oh, y'all keep laughing. I'm just going to keep going. I'm so glad Samuel's here today, because I don't know if I ever told Samuel. I was afraid Samuel's going to be in children's church. Samuel, I'm not sure I ever told you how I met your mom, how I met your mother. I think that would be a good TV series. But I met your mother like this. She was in high school, and I went up to her one day, and I said, Lisa, if you were a fruit, you would be one fine apple. Oh, I should have stopped. Darn. Fine apple, pineapple. Now, yeah, so anyway, I should have stopped, Joanne. That's what I do. I always do that. I always just ruin the whole moment. But why am I doing this today? I don't know if you've ever heard the word poromasia. The word is pronounced like this. It's in English class, and it's paranomasia. Paranomasia. Does anybody know what that word means? That word, it also means pun. Now, we know what a pun is, don't we? A pun, according to the dictionary, is this. A pun is a joke exploiting the different possible meanings. It's a joke exploring the different possible meanings of a word. And what that means is this. Like, if you see a word like waste, when we say waste, well, waste could mean this area here, but waste also has some meanings beneath that surface. It could mean trash. It could mean what we do with our life, what we do with money, what we do with our talents. Anytime that we don't use it wisely, we're wasting that. And so we have the word waste, but there's different meanings below the surface of that word. That is a pun. When you tell a joke like that, to kind of use a pun on words, that's what it is. When we see the word God, we look at that name and we realize here that there's more beneath the surface. There's a definition beneath the surface more than just what we know of God. We're doing this series as we go throughout the year where we're praying and we're learning to pray. We're talking about what prayer is all about. And one of the things that we've looked at is on our wristbands. If you don't have one, we've got them in the basket back there if you want one of these nice wristbands. But on our wristbands, it has the letters P-R-A-Y. And P stands for praise. Well, before I went to the revival, one of the things that we talked about was who God is. Because if we're going to understand how praise works, we need to understand who it is that we're really praising to. And so I want to continue that over the next several weeks as we look at, really focus in on these meanings below the name of God. And one meaning below the name of God is the Hebrew words Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, it means the Lord will provide. Do we know God like that? Do we know that God is a God who will provide? Because we look at God, and I know we, all of us in this room believe in God, but who is the God that we believe in? Do we believe in the God that we really believe in? R.C. Sproul used to say this. He made a comment like this. He said, "The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe in the God we believe in." The issue of faith is not so much we believe in God, but do we believe in the God that we believe in? Do we believe that God will provide? Do we believe that the Lord is a Lord who will provide? Do we believe in Jehovah Jireh? Now, I know all of us in this room, if we were to go around the room and say, yeah, man, I know God provides. God has blessed me in so many ways. God's given me the job I have. God gives me food. God gives me clothes. God gives me all these things. But do we really believe that the Lord is going to come through? Do we believe that He's going to provide when times are really tough? The Lord will provide. Do we know that? Do we believe in the God that we say that we believe in? Because there's three things that's going to get us there. There's three things that happened here with Abraham where he understood this is who God is. He is the Lord that provides. The first thing we, you and I, really need to answer today is this. We need to answer, who is our Isaac? We need to identify our Isaac. Look with me here at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Take your son," he said, "your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now, we all know this story, all right? I mean, this is a story that if you've come to Sunday school class, when you were very little, you heard this story in Sunday school class. We know it. We know that Abraham was a guy who lived in a different land. God came to him and said, "Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. As you go, I'm going to give you details along the way." And God brought Abraham to this land. When he got there, God looked at Abraham and said, "You know what? Your descendants I'm going to use to become a nation that will bless the world." And Abraham and Sarah said, "Oh man, this is exciting. This is wonderful." And year after year, they got older and didn't have any children. And then it got to the point where it was ridiculous to think that they were ever going to have children at this age. They had a child at that age. And they named him Isaac. And the name Isaac means laughable, because they were just laughing at the thought that they could have a child at this age. And so now they understood, okay, this is what God's going to do. God's going to use Isaac, and he's going to begin there, and we are going to have a nation because of Isaac and his descendants. So one day, God comes to Abraham, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son. I want to take you to take your son that you love, and I want you to go, and I want you to sacrifice him in a place that you've never been to before. Here's one of the things I've come to find to be true about God. Whenever God tests us, God always usually takes, I guess you can't say always and usually, God usually takes us to a new place. He takes us to a new place of service. He takes us to a new job. He takes us to a new area. It takes us to a place where we've never been before because this is outside of our comfort zone. Whenever God is going to test us, he usually takes us to somewhere outside of our comfort zone. And the place that God took Abraham or told him to go was Moriah. Now he didn't really say, I want you to go at this point. He said, I want you to go to this region because there's mountains there together, and I'll show you the mountain that we're going to take care of this on. I'll show you the mountain that you're going to do the sacrifice on. If I could pause right here for a moment, I want to look at Mount Moriah. If you were to go to Jerusalem today, this is Mount Moriah. This is what you've seen. Maybe you've seen pictures of it. You see pictures of Jerusalem, and up on the mountain there is a building that looks out of place. This building is it's blue, and it's got a gold dome on the top. And this building is called Dome of the Rock. Muslims in Jerusalem own this building. They control this building because this site on Mount Moriah has a lot of spiritual and holy significance for Muslims. And they put this building there, and they called it the Dome of the Rock. The interesting thing about this building is that it looks so wonderful from the outside, and you go inside expecting that you're going to see all this great architectural design, that you're going to see all these wonderful rooms. You know what you see if you go inside this building? I don't know if anybody's ever been there or not. If you go inside this building, you know what you see? You see a huge rock. Because that's what it's built over. The Dome of the Rock is built on the top of Mount Moriah. It's built upon the peak of Mount Moriah. It's put over that because Muslims believe this is where Muhammad last set his foot before he went to heaven. So it has a lot of holy significance for Muslims, the Dome of the Rock. But it also has significance for Jews. Jews know, and this is where they put their temple. And they put the temple here in Jerusalem at this location for one reason. Because they believe in this story where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, they believed that it took place right at that spot. It is a very holy place. Christians consider it holy as well. We consider it holy because, again, we read this story, we know what happened in this vicinity, but if you were to stand on the Dome of the Rock and take a rock and throw it, you could throw it, this is how close it is, you could throw it to the place of the skull where Jesus Christ was crucified. I'm someone who believes, since the Bible never specifically says where Abraham took Isaac, he said, I want you to take it to this region. I want you to take it to the area of Mount Moriah, somewhere along there. I believe where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac is the exact same place where years later Jesus was crucified. I believe it happened at the same spot. That's just me. But it's very holy. It is a very special place. God always takes you to a new place when he's getting ready to test you. That we need to know that. But here's the question I have for us all today. Who or what is our Isaac? Because if we are going to know God as the one who provides, the first thing that we have to do is identify what our Isaac is. Who is our Isaac? And the minute I ask that question, I know right now that people in this room, all of a sudden, something or someone jumped to your mind. This is your Isaac, isn't it? You know it. You know what it is. Now I know at Lent, sometimes before Easter, we generally say, you know what, in order to get closer to God during the season, we sometimes say this. We say, you know what, I'm going to give up certain things because this is my Isaac. I'm going to give this up so I can get closer to God. And so we may believe and we may convince ourselves that our Isaac is nacho cheese Doritos. You know, nacho cheese Doritos are bad for me, so I'm going to give up nacho cheese Doritos because I want to get closer to God. Let me say, an Isaac is not nacho cheese Doritos. I had to say that slowly because I was going to mess that up. An Isaac is not nacho cheese Doritos. You know what an Isaac is? And Isaac is anything or anyone that you trust with yourself, but you don't trust with God. It's something or someone that you would trust with yourself, but you don't trust with God. Because the Bible says here that Isaac was the one son whom Abraham loved. He trusted Isaac with himself. He wanted Isaac with himself. He wanted to protect Isaac. He wanted to make sure Isaac was always watched over. And Isaac is someone or something that you trust with yourself, but you probably don't trust with God. Honestly, what is that? Who is that? Because the first thing that we need to do is identify who our Isaac is. What is our Isaac? The second thing that we need to do here is we need to place the Isaac on the altar. You know, this is why we don't do this. Because we're so afraid of what God is going to do. We're so afraid of what God is going to ask us to do. If we were to take our Isaac right now and place it on the altar, what is God really saying? Is God saying, you know what, can you walk away from that? Can you really trust me with this person right now? That's why a lot of times we don't want to go through this process. But the Bible says any time that God tests us here, and this is what Abraham understood about God. Let me actually read verses 5 and 9. Verse 5 says this. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." And verse 9 says, "When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood." Whenever God tests us, he always brings us to a point where our response has to be one that we trust him and we obey him. And I've had people say, you know what, Eddie, I can't do that. I'm so afraid of what God's going to ask me to do. Can I really give this up? Can I really trust God with this? I'm so afraid of what God is going to ask me to do. But if we're going to see how the Lord provides, then we've got to place our Isaac on the altar and trust God and obey him. Didn't we just sing it just a little while ago? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Guys, I'm seeing your faces, and your faces are telling me a story. They are. They're telling me right now that I'm heading home. I'm heading home because I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Eddie, I can't do it. I can't do it. But whenever God brings us to this place, he always does it with the option. The only option we have is to trust him and obey him. Identify your Isaac, place your Isaac on the altar, and then watch how the Lord provides. Look with me at verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14 says this. Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. We talk about provision a lot. We talk about how God will always provide. We throw that around a lot. But you know what the word provide means? The word provide comes from two Latin words, pro and video. Pro and video. Pro means before, video means to see. So here's what the word provide means. The word provide means to see before you can even see it. Before you can see it, that is how God provides. The Lord provides before you even know that you have a need that's there. God had provided that ram before Abraham even knew that he needed the ram to be there. That is how God provides. The Lord provides. Like I said, I know because I've been here, and you have too in some ways. But I know what Abraham was going through, don't you? Because we come to understand God over time. At the beginning, when Abraham first went out, I don't think Abraham could have done this. But Abraham came to know things about God that you and I should really know about God. There are some things that we need to keep in mind about God when God asks us to identify our Isaac and to place Isaac on the altar and to look for how he's going to provide. The first thing we need to know about God is this is always true. Always. God will always, without fail, God is always consistent with his word. He's always consistent with his character. Now think about that for a moment. The reason why Abraham could do what he did is because he knew God was not going to be inconsistent with his character. I mean, God is not going to murder Isaac. He's not going to happen. That would be inconsistent with his character. That would be inconsistent with his word. So Abraham has no clue here how God's going to pull this off. I don't know how God's going to do it, but did you notice what he said in verse 5? In verse 5, he said this. He said, I want you guys to stay here. Isaac and I are going to go over there and worship. And then what did he say? He said, we are going to come back here. Because Abraham believed with all his heart that there was no way that God was going to be inconsistent with who he was. We need to know that about God. The second thing we need to know about God is God will always love us and always do what's best. You know, the problem that we have with saying, you know, I just don't know if I can do this, God loves us more than we could ever imagine. And what he's going to do is always going to be what's best. We've talked about this with God before. You know what? There wouldn't even be any love in the world if there was no God in the world. The reason why we have love is because God is love. For God so loves us, he is always going to do what's best. Number three, God always comes through. He's always faithful. He will always come through, always. And the last thing that we need to see here about God is this. God sees what you and I don't, always. He always sees what you and I don't. The reason why God can provide is because he knows our needs before we even know our need. What is our greatest need? Our greatest need is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know that. The question throughout the Old Testament was the same question that Isaac asked his dad in verse 7. In verse 7, did you catch it? Isaac looked at Abraham. He said, Dad, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where's the lamb? Where is what's going to reconcile us to God? Where is the sacrifice? Isn't this great about Jesus? From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. In Genesis chapter 22, the question's being asked, where is Jesus? Where's the lamb? And John the Baptist, looked at Jesus and he said, Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. In the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, in Revelation 22, what does it say? Worthy is the Lamb who is due all honor and praise and glory. Worthy is the Lamb. We see the connection all the way through. Jesus knows our need before we even think of it. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, your need right now is that Lamb that has been identified in the Bible. If you're here this morning and you think to yourself, man, I'm holding back. I can't let this go. God is saying right now, would you just trust me? Place it on the altar. What I'm about to do in your life, how I'm about to provide for you, is a way that you've never seen before. Will you just trust me here? However God's leading your heart right now, would you come? Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.